Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Now, it is speech-making season amongst elected officials, and you'll recall that last week we heard from Boston Mayor Marty Walsh when he delivered his State of the City speech. Now, towards the end of his address, there was this one little soundbite.
I can announce a plan to bring cutting-edge traffic light technology to Boston's busiest streets. New signals will adapt to traffic in real time and work together to keep it flowing.
Cutting-edge traffic light technology. It sounds great, honestly, but how would it actually work? And what would this technology look like? We wanted to know. So we brought back our traffic expert. That's what I'm calling you now, Peter Firth. He's a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Northeastern University, and he joins us in the studio. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Magda.
Okay, so cutting-edge traffic light technology, what is it? What's the city planning?
We aren't sure what the city's planning because right now what they're doing is studying what they might get. But what's available in the market for cutting-edge traffic technology isn't that exciting, to tell the truth.
It's not? Oh.
It's not much different than what we've had for the last 40 years, which is traffic lights that follow a certain cycle. There are some detectors to make it responsive to traffic somewhat, but not as responsive, nearly as responsive as we'd like it to be.
But the mayor was saying that new signals would adapt to traffic. Is that what you're talking about in terms of like the in-street detectors to see what cars are where and change patterns that way?
There's real-time adaptation, and then there's adaptation over like a 15-minute period. The real-time adaptation is what you see in a left-turn lane when you see, oh, as soon as there's a gap, the light changes. That's real quick. That works really nice. The adaptive, what he's talking about, is they collect data over every 5 or 10 minutes, and then based on that, they might adjust parameters a little bit. So you're doing now what you wish you had done 10 minutes ago, and it's not responsive in real time. You can still have these situations where there's 20 seconds of green time for a street when there's no traffic on the other street.
Okay, so to be specific, the mayor says new signals will adapt to traffic in real time, end quote. So he's using adaptive and real time together.
Don't blame him. That's the standard terminology in the industry, but adaptive is not the same as real-time responsive.
Okay, but the mayor does say that these new traffic light technologies would actually keep traffic flowing. Do they do that in cities where they've been installed?
They help a little bit. We have a different without that, what you have is a certain plan for the morning peak, another plan for the midday, another plan for the evening peak. With an adaptive system, because it's collecting data all the time, it will essentially allow you to have a new plan every 15 minutes. So if there's a sudden rush because of a baseball game gets out or an increased traffic because of the weather, it will respond to that and give you a plan that's adapted to the overall level of demand. So
okay.
That's an improvement.
Okay. So just to be clear, I mean, because you have advised and worked with the city before, have you seen any proposals actually for the city of Boston?
Not for the city
okay.
of Boston. It's
okay.
It's something that's slowly been coming in Massachusetts. We have some adaptive systems in some of our suburbs.
Okay. So give me an example, whether it's in Massachusetts or not, of your ideal cutting-edge traffic light technology, your smart street light technology. Where is it and how does it work?
The ideal one should focus more on what the real time, which is when I detect that there's nobody else coming, stop the light being green for the street without traffic and give the time to the other one. And the key to that is getting free from fixed cycle lengths. That's since I don't know, 1950 or something, the way that we control traffic is we assign a fixed cycle length, and we say that way if we get a whole bunch of intersections in a row all in the same cycle, we can get a green wave. But it's a dream. We can't get good green waves except on one-way streets. So on our two-way streets, we're pursuing this dream of a green wave without getting it. And what that means is, let's say there's no traffic, but you're not at the end of the cycle. You got to wait another 20 seconds. And that's why we end up with what I call stupid traffic lights that won't change even when there's no traffic.
Okay. So are these like truly real-time systems that you just described, are they in use in any city that we know of?
Well, real-time use is used kind of everywhere, and Boston has a few, but they don't tend to put them on arterials where there's one light after another. If it's an isolated intersection, like you could see it at the corner of Green Street and La Martine and Jamaica Plain. You could see it in Milton where Adams Street meets Center Street. So there are a few places like that where you see so quickly, wow, as soon as there's no traffic, the light changes. The next one gets nobody has a long delay. It's really nice. But along our arterials, we have prioritized, we want a green wave for those through cars. And if the new system they get still prioritizes green waves through cars, we'll still have dumb traffic lights that stay green even when there's no traffic.
Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to imagine, maybe you just described it, but I can't quite see it. So if you're not aiming for that constant flow, let's use Commonwealth Avenue because it's so long and it connects to major parts of Greater Boston. Like if you're not having traffic move down the many miles of Comm Ave as efficiently as possible, how is any other option more efficient? Because there is so much cross traffic.
Well, so Comm Ave is a great example. It's a two-way road. If you make a green wave in one direction, you are going to have, in effect, a red wave in the other, where you're going to get a red light at every block. Nobody wants that. It's impossible to have a green wave in both directions. The best you can hope for is be able to get through two or three lights, then have a reasonably short delay, and then another two or three lights. And that's a pretty good progression. And that can be done without requiring the whole street to be on the same cycle, the whole street to cycle together. So you could have a group of two or three intersections that, because they have a lot of traffic, maybe they need 100 seconds to cycle. But the next group maybe only needs 80 seconds to cycle. And so the pedestrians don't have to wait as long to cross the street. The left-turning cars don't have to wait as long.
Right. How much would this cost? Nothing?
The real cost is with equipment, and the equipment that we have now, any equipment that we bought in the last 20 years, can run all these programs. So all it means is buying software. The other cost is buying detectors. So if you want to have a smart system, you need more detectors, but they aren't too expensive. You just install some loops of wire in the ground and bring a feed to the control box that's already there.
Okay. Is there any downside to your ideal version of a smart traffic light system?
No, none at all.
Zero.
No downside, but it means more staff time, more expertise to put it in. If all it matters is we just want the lights to go green, yellow, red, and not have two streets have green at the same time so cars don't crash into each other, you know, that's the minimum. Well, you set it up and you turn it on, you let it go, and you don't do anything more with it. And the staffing levels in Boston's transportation department are pretty low. And so there isn't nearly as much active management and improving of those signals as they'd like.
Now, Peter, last couple questions. I mean, we are talking about a traffic system that is, you know, perhaps largely guided by technology, but it's used by humans, right? Like,
right.
We are the drivers are at the wheels of the car. I'm just wondering, are there any solutions, any options that don't require the use of technology that we could use to ease traffic problems? Okay, for example, the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit in the city of Boston.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
The 25-mile-an-hour speed limit is to improve safety. It's a good idea, but it's meaningless by itself. And that's actually another place where traffic lights can make a lot of difference. When I say it's meaningless, it's because there's no enforcement on a street like Commonwealth Avenue. Drivers will drive at whatever speed they feel comfortable, and I'm not saying they should. It's just that's what they do. We study this. That's what they do. A smart traffic signal system will reward you if you go 25 by giving you green lights, and if you go 35, you'll have a red light in front of you. So we can use traffic lights to give us the safety benefit that we're looking for.
Okay, but we still have the drivers who, you know, insist on thinking they'll get a green wave all the way.
But when the light is red, they're going to stop. So that's for instance, in downtown Portland, Oregon, there's a green wave at a speed of 14 miles an hour. The experienced bus drivers, they just cruise around 14 miles an hour. Car drivers who are new, they'll zoom, and there's a red light. Then they stop. They zoom for a block, there's a red light. Then they stop. And nobody can go fast because there's always a red light in front of you unless you're going at the speed.
I guess I was just also hoping to hear you say that maybe just if we changed our driving culture, that would go a long way to alleviating traffic problems.
No. Drivers are selfish and will go as fast as they want to. But it's systematic. We can count on that behavior, and then we can shape it. It's pedestrians more that you need to worry about. Car drivers actually will stop with the red light. Pedestrians won't. And pedestrians will not stand there and wait for 60 seconds, 80 seconds, when there's no traffic coming.
Yeah.
So we have to adapt our traffic signals to people, not ask people to adapt their behavior in a way that we know they won't.
Well, I'm going to just hope that City Hall heard this. And maybe your phone will ring soon, Peter. Peter Firth is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Northeastern University. It's always great to have you. Thanks so much.
Great to be here.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.